Welcome once again to another episode of Demand Gen Radio, the one program that brings you all the latest methods and technologies for driving growth and increasing demand. With the voice of Demand Gen, David Lewis.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Demand Gen Radio. What a year it was. It was a year that came and went, and we are here, 2021. Maybe some of you are listening to this deeper into 2021, but we are approaching the holidays, and I'm excited. And this year was a year of a very significant project for my guest. Naomi Marr is the Senior Director of Global Marketing Operations at Datto. That's a new role for her, but in a previous role at Improvada, where she was the Head of Global Marketing Operations, we did some amazing work, our teams together. And we want to talk about this project because it is, it's for some, it's the Mount Everest. For some, it's the Holy Grail. Whatever way you want to describe it, I'll say this. It's the most important thing that marketing and sales need to achieve, and that is the One View of the Truth initiative. So we're going to go into that today, dig into analytics and what it takes to achieve that. But first, Naomi, thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me. I'm super glad to be here. And as we wind down 2020 and roll into 2021, I'm definitely looking forward to, let's call it a hopeful year ahead of us.
Yeah. And you had said to me that earlier this year, your son had COVID. And I haven't talked to too many people who had a direct family member who has had it. So I'm glad he has made it through that successfully. Yep. We've had one person on our team, all of Demand Gen, have COVID, and she is doing well. She's getting on the healthier side of the journey. So glad to hear that that is going well and everyone's staying healthy at this later part of the year.
Yes, thank you. He's doing great. We somehow managed to just shut him into his bedroom and the rest of us stayed healthy. And I think we were really lucky on that front.
Awesome. Marketing operations, a role that you have been in for a good portion of your career and at several different companies, Progress Software, Avid Technology, Improvada, which I mentioned. And our teams have worked together in each of those places. Which has been nice. And I'm sure the role has evolved over time for you. And I think that one thing that we want to share with you guys going up front is Naomi today is moved into a different reporting structure. And so, Naomi, I'd love for you to share that and just your thoughts and reflections around it, because where do you report and track revenue? We've seen, right, the evolution of people who, like kind of marketing operations back in the day was the person who had responsible for the marketing automation system. And then, right. it grew beyond that. So tell us about your journey and how the role has evolved over time and just your thoughts on where that should or whether it matters and how it resides within an organization.
Yeah, for sure. I think that if I were really being honest about this, my experience with ops probably even goes back before the three companies that we've worked together at. It kind of goes back to what you were just talking about, where I was really just a marketing programs manager who happened to be responsible for the marketing automation platform. And then that evolved at a different organization into, okay, well, you can't run programs and run the marketing operations platform. So you're just going to run the platform and we're going to have marketing managers deal with the content and the design and things like that. So it was definitely an evolution. And then throughout the time that I worked with Demand Gen, really it was initially about standing up a marketing automation platform. And then at another place, it was about migrating from one platform to another as the feature sets expanded. And throughout the career, it has come really full circle to be an entire conversation around the marketing automation platform. While it can send emails and is the backend plumbing for all your tracking, really there's a large focus for marketing operations teams on analytics and what that truly means for the business. And so in my current role, I am now reporting into a revenue operations team, which reports up through a chief revenue officer. The entire marketing organization reports in through that team, as well as the entire sales organization. And then there's a lot of analysts that sit in between the two of them. And I have peers on the sales operation side and work very closely with them. And then I also am establishing almost an external agency relationship with the marketing team. Mm-hmm. So it does give me a very good opportunity and very good insight into holistically around the business. How is reporting being done? What does the customer experience look like? And it allows us to be a little bit more impartial with all of that. Not get caught up sometimes in some of the typical marketing activities which happen, which are all amazing and wonderful, but it sometimes distracts us a little bit from looking at the analytics and really providing some value to the business.
Gunnar, it's almost like you and I get to take a look at some of the news out there. And I want to pull up two posts that are going on LinkedIn right now because it's fully relevant. Actually, I have three that are fully relevant to what we are discussing here on the program. The first one is with Daryl Alfonso. And for those of you that don't know Daryl, Daryl is in marketing operations at Amazon. And I'm sure this time of the year, all of you know Amazon among many other times of the year, doing your holiday shopping. The question that Daryl posed to the group was, what advice would you give marketing ops pros who want to transition to a leadership role? So I'm going to throw that question at you, even though the post is already out there and he's gotten feedback from six folks, including yours truly. And I'll read what I wrote, but it was around this question of what advice would you give a marketing ops pros who want to transition to a leadership role? And I love the question because so many people, like you said, like yourself, had a responsibility with either programs or systems, and that was what they managed, a program or system, but then they have a broader responsibility. I said, Naomi, act like a business owner. Leaders don't geek out on the tools and their features. They are passionate about strategy and outcomes. And a lot of other good advice in that post. I can certainly link to it in the show notes, guys, unless you just want to do a search for Daryl Alfonso, but we'll link to it as well. I'm curious what if you would answer the question for Daryl, how you might provide your insights.
I think I completely agree with what you just said about thinking strategically and thinking like a business owner. I would add also pay attention to details. So I think that's what true business strategists do the best. And I don't mean every little nitty gritty detail. I think what it is it's paying attention to the details that matter the most around your customer experience, your support experience, the way that you're positioning your business in the market. It's pay attention to those details. And I would, for the marketing operations people, just because I'm self-declared nerd and it's near and dear to my heart, I would also include knowing your business's data model would be a part of paying attention to those details. You know what your billing processes look like and know what your contract processes look like and what your outbound email and just generally knowing the details as if you were a business owner. So I think it all ties together. Mm-hmm. But I would say know the details.
The other one's Sarah McNamara. I don't know Sarah personally. I do follow a lot of the stuff that she puts out. Some of it's very controversial, some of it not so much. And this one, she said, this could have been clickbait, who knows? She said, this may be one of the most controversial posts I've ever posted. And she said, but, and then you had to take a look. You don't work in marketing operations or sales operations to make everyone happy all of the time, which I'm like, that's not controversial at all. We're not in business to make people happy.
Right.
You work in operations, she says, to make as many people as possible as successful as they can be, to juggle tech plus desires plus user experience. You go into operations to support the overall business. And the reason I'm bringing that one up is that's really the role that you have evolved into, and this reporting structure is you're helping the overall business, not just marketing operations or sales operations. And so I just thought, you know, for our time together and people listening in, people are always asking me all the time, and I love the question, how should we structure our marketing organization? How should we structure the overall sales and marketing function between one another? And so just your insights there and thoughts maybe on Sarah's post. We're not in business to make people happy, that's for sure. I think what you and I have talked about in the past is how do you deliver bad news? Like these campaigns, they ain't doing so well. Sorry, so don't shoot the messenger.
Right.
I don't know. Transparency always works.
Transparency always works. And I think the other thing too is she's absolutely right. There's a very thin line that sales operations people walk. There's a very thin line that marketing operations people walk, because to a certain degree, we are an internal service agency. But then you have to align that with, we're not only an internal service agency to the people requesting work, but we're actually an internal service agency to the business. So she's spot on, at least in my opinion. And I do think transparency matters from the perspective of being successful in a marketing operations role. I think that's in every interaction that you have with someone.
Yeah.
So it could be as simple as, this is why that email got caught in spam. And it could be as complicated as, these are the 12 different reasons why that email didn't make it to that person. And five of those things might be out of our control. So I'm really sorry about that. You know, there's all kinds of different levels of conversations that you get into. But in all reality, ops roles are aimed at making the business successful. Using the tools that we have, understanding the data segmentation the way we do, and really, really, truly making the marketing organization successful with the insights we can provide them. So I completely agree with her.
Yeah. Last one was an interview that I did with Regina from Adobe. So Adobe was looking for some thought leadership and guidance around attribution. And what I said to them, the hardest part about attribution falls into the data chain issue. The challenges of that when you run a campaign and you capture a response and you capture that response and associate it with a program, and the program needs attribution and an attribution model, and it has to flow from your marketing system to your CRM and all those flows in there. You have experienced this and managed this and led this for years. And the guy who taught me the most about the data chain challenges is Rick Segura, who you have worked with on my team. So I'd love to get your thoughts too, just about, you know, like I said, that's the number one problem, because there's a lot of manual dependencies that we have, but also the systems to move the data across. How are you addressing that, solving that? And by the way, what do you think of Rick?
that's an unfair question. It's loaded, because I absolutely love Rick. He is a hero from my perspective, and I think he was really pivotal in helping us solve the challenge of what attribution meant to us at Improvata. And I just learned so much from him that, you know, I would recommend anybody that's struggling with this to talk to David and to talk to Rick. Not that they expected me to say that, but I would definitely recommend that. I think the data chain issue is absolutely one of the biggest challenges in really getting at a set of reports that will help a marketing organization run their business. You know, everybody always talks about turning the dials and adjusting budget and spend and really getting at the important information. Data changes, because there are so many disparate systems, just it's a natural place for there to be struggles. I would also say that the other struggle is human based. Mm-hmm. And it's this idea that people, I think, believe that influence is something that belongs to a single campaign, and trying to convince them that really you need to be looking at influence across every campaign that you do, and that influence does not always need to be tied to revenue. I know that's kind of a wild and crazy and controversial thing I just said, but it doesn't always need to be tied to revenue to prove that a campaign is successful. So what we've been trying to do is almost take the 30 different ad hoc reports that you get from every campaign manager who comes at you wanting to know how your campaign performed, and put that together, and this is where Rick was absolutely pivotal, into a single report that shows all of the different possible metrics of success that every one of your campaigns could be held against. That way, you can slice and dice depending on campaign type, or which product, or which region, or which time frame, which tactic, which call to action, and you can really slice and dice that data and look at all of the campaigns in aggregate. And you're really looking at all of the different possible success factors too. So you could look at which was the best at driving engagement, which was the best at growing the database, which was the best at reawakening the dead, which was the best at being last touch before an op is created or last touch before an op is closed, which one drives deal acceleration. Believe it or not, coming at it from an ad hoc perspective where a program manager says, well, I ran a deal acceleration campaign, I would like to know if my campaign succeeded. That's one set of possible metrics, but that campaign may have been more successful in some other aspect of the business. And that's really where I think connecting those data chain issues and then bringing people along on that journey of understanding that influence conversation is actually bigger, and it may not always include revenue. So that's just my thoughts on that topic, yeah. I guess.
It's you've told me the Jerry Maguire story a couple times around, you know, that you had a few people at Hello, and your Hello was showing them this one view of the truth that you wanted. Your goal was you wanted a report that showed it all in this understandable format, which is so important because you can pull a lot of data and you can throw data into sheets and reports and everything. But if it's not understandable, you don't have them at Hello. And you said, I remember you said someone, I don't know who it was. You said, this report warms my heart, Naomi. What, if you remember that, what do you remember who that was? Remember that
story? I do. Actually, it was the chief marketing officer at Datto. So not even the organization for which it was built. Basically, I just took the framework of it and zeroed out all the data. And I was just showing them conceptually the way that we could start to think about reporting out on marketing campaign success. There's probably four other people too. The demand gen manager, a lot of the program managers at Improvata. There were a ton of people who just really, for the first time, I think since I've been in my professional career, really been able to take a report, sit down, and analyze all campaigns at once across all of the different KPI metrics. And I know that there are a lot of folks that say, oh, we do that. We do that today. I guess the other part of it is connecting that data chain issue so that you can do it constantly, all the time, and without doing things manually, right? So this report was something that we delivered to everybody's inbox every Friday morning. Yeah. And it allowed them to really run the business differently. So yeah, you know, it's a report that it resonates with people. And it's something that I think we all could learn from. And I'm happy to share it with anybody who's interested in seeing the structure of it or even just talking it through. So
now you're going to get some outreach on LinkedIn, because that recipe book is invaluable. In fact, so much so, by the way, if you're sitting in front of a browser, do yourself a favor and type in Naomi Marr, M-A-R-R, two R's, and get connected to her, because she has the recipe book. She has the playbook. Naomi, when I met Rick was, I think he was an independent contractor out there in the world, and he was doing work for Citrix, and Citrix was our client. This was the GoToMeeting folks. They've rebranded and gone through stuff, but he was doing work for them, and they were a client of ours, and so they shared with us the dashboard that Rick had created. And I'm like, who did this? And they're like, oh, not one of us internally. It's a dashboard that we get from a contractor of ours. And I said, who is it? And they said, a guy by the name of Rick Segura. I said, I don't know him. So got connected with Rick, and I saw this Excel dashboard, this one view of the truth that he had built for them. And it wasn't that I just wanted that capability. I wanted Rick to come in. And that was, I think that was at least 6-7 years ago. Rick's been with us a long time. Mm-hmm. It's a podcast. And even though we've started, by the way, guys, if you go to demandgen.tv, we're starting to put some of the podcasts out on Demand Gen TV. We weren't able to do that today with Naomi and I, but we will. I'll do my Rod Serling impression of Twilight Zone. You know, picture if you will. Naomi will show it to you if you reach out. But what Absolutely. This looks like, by the way, it's not Tableau. It's not something super fancy. There was no technology necessarily that was purchased on Naomi's part to create this dashboard. You could use those tools, certainly. But Rick put together this dashboard with the team. And in the top left corner says campaign performance. And then going down the side of it, it has a year, it has quarters, it has months, it has regions, and it has campaign type. And I stop there. When you click on these different tabs, all within Excel, not tabs, but buttons, Those are your filter criteria. And then the report is generated in the columns and rows to the right. And the reason that Naomi and the team like it is it just makes sense. It's really easy to look at the information. If you want to know how many campaign responses have come in, you can see that. If you want to know, did this generate more records into the database? How many new contacts were created from this campaign? You can see that. And certainly lots more information in terms of attribution, revenue, whatnot. What does it take when you take a project like that, Naomi, and you decide what it's going to look like, and of course get advice from my team and coaching, did you get buy-in in terms of the overall look and feel before you went further on it, or did you just describe the KPIs that you were going to be approaching with and do it, or did you just create it and show everybody and they go, ooh, that warms my heart?
Yeah, actually, it was a little more of that last option. Yeah. Everyone knew that we were working on trying to develop a suite of reports which would help the entire marketing team. So everybody knew we were working on it. But really, if anybody's been in this situation before, everybody gets in a room and talks about the metrics they want to see, and everybody has different opinions. And not only that, but a lot of it, because of those data chain issues, it's difficult to get at. And all of a sudden, you're down this rat hole of having a, well, we can't get at that piece of information, but I can get at this. And we kind of stripped it all the way back and just said, let's start with definitions. And even though everybody knew we were working on it, we did somewhat do it. Rick, myself, the other folks on the demand gen team, and some analysts, a data analyst on the Improvata side, as well as a demand gen manager on the Improvata side, we pretty much just put our brains together. And what eventually ended up happening was it snowballed. Mm-hmm. So the original concept was, well, let's get the opportunity attribution metrics in there. Let's do last touch before op create. Let's do last touch before op close. Let's use all touch in 12 months prior before op create and op close. And then we started to go toward, well, let's do overall campaign metrics, and let's do went on to another campaign. So it drove deeper engagement. So the report kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And just because of the talent that Rick has, he was able to incorporate that. The one thing that we really wanted to do next, and I'm hoping the Improvata team does it, and if not, I'll be doing it at Datto, but the one thing we wanted to do was to take the next slice of it and do a unique account view of it. So really, and a lot of folks, you know, there's nothing revolutionary here, know that first, depending on your products that you sell and your sales cycle and the type of sale it is, looking at everything at a unique account level is much more valuable than looking at it at a unique lead level. Mm-hmm. So the current iteration of the report is unique lead and then tied to unique opportunity. But the next step in that evolution is unique account. So it evolved over time. And as we showed it to people, they would say, that's really great. Now can I see this? And that's really great. Now can I see this? So it was much more iterative in nature, but it almost needs to be, because getting them in a room and talking those things through almost never works.
Right. You mentioned about the definitions, that you started with the definitions. For those of you, I described a little bit of what this report looks like, and some of the data in there. There's also a tab, which is a definitions tab. And on that tab, Naomi and the crew have put together, like, what's the term, like number of campaign responses, and then the definition of that, and then, you know, the slicer reference date. So if somebody is new to the organization and not familiar with this report or doesn't remember exactly what that metric is, they can look at the data dictionary and see what those definitions are. And that way, you know, when you move from organization to organization or different people come in, people may have different definitions. We know the definition of a lead back in the day, which is it sucks. We always knew marketing referred to leads one way and sales referred to leads to mean something else. And you guys have broken down these metrics. Let's talk on a personal level. That's why I think one of the reasons that everybody listens to the podcast, if they haven't already connected with you on LinkedIn, just to have you in their network, is these recipes for how to approach analytics and report on business performance, still a little black magic these days. It's not that everybody in marketing has done this time and time again. When you interviewed, data and you showed this or showed versions of this, they said, we need her. We have to have her in our organization among your many other skills and talents. Talking from a personal level, for someone who's listening in and maybe newer in their marketing operations journey, or even a CMO or VP of marketing demand gen who maybe doesn't have this skill set yet, what advice would you provide? How do you get there?
I would say, and again, not to oversimplify it, but it's definitely paying attention to the details. I think the ability to talk through actual live modeling absolutely helped in the interview process, and being able to give a more holistic view across multiple programs, across multiple tactics, multiple calls to action, and to have that actionable data was something that was powerful. Because as I said, most organizations do it on more of an ad hoc basis. Let's look at how webinars perform and let's measure it on these three KPIs. I think having that holistic view is definitely much more valuable and strategic to the business in general. So that resonates more with executives, right? So when you're having those interviews. With regard to advice, I guess I would just say that there's a natural evolution from understanding the ways that the tech stack works to then getting involved in more of understanding what that data model is, where the disconnects are, what fields of data connect the different systems together. Mm-hmm. And I think for anybody that's interested in growing their marketing ops career, understanding that is going to be very important in the future. I think it will be less and less about landing pages and emails and more about what strategic value do you bring to the org. You could almost make an argument that the traditional or, you know, way back ops function from when I first started in the ops function of building and executing emails and landing pages, while albeit extremely important, has become a bit more of a standard operations function, almost like a web operations function of managing web pages and building and executing web pages, which I also have a long background in the web world. So those two things just naturally are synergistic to me. But you could create a marketing ops team that is executing on web requests and executing on emails and landing pages. And you could definitely see some synergies there. Mm-hmm. The one gap is just the data side of it. If you break off those people who are setting up the emails and landing pages and even the web pages from the team that needs to have all the tracking be absolutely perfect in order to get the reports you need, there's a risk there.
Yeah.
So I think not a lot of teams are building those operations organizations where web folks and landing page and email folks are together for that reason, but you could kind of see how that would be. I think the data side is where the crux of the strategy will happen in the future.
We'll come back to, you know, interviewing and them making a decision on which candidate to go with. Besides your recipe book for revenue operations, what's unique about you, Naomi, or maybe not so much, but I think it is that your background in marketing, growing up in marketing and doing search engine optimization and content syndication and website personalization and digital advertising, you know, you've done many different channels or all the probably channels and programs and learn the nuances of them. So when you need to stitch it all together and take a look at what matters, having that background. She's too humble to say, guys, but you know, Naomi is an award-winning marketer. She was part of the team that won the 2018 Serious Decisions Return on Integration Award. I also had Leticia Rodley on the podcast recently. So you two share the stage in doing some award-winning marketing. And that's a very prestigious award. I mean, it's hard. The competition is fierce and Serious Decisions, scrutinized and reviewed hard who really could achieve that. And I want to talk about a little bit about their demand unit waterfall model and your thoughts around that, because she, Naomi also has tremendous experience in ABM and Engageo said this is one of the, you know, awarded one of the marketing operations leaders that you should know. So now you all know her, which is good, or at least you know a little bit. Talk with us about the Serious Decisions demand unit waterfall and why it didn't work there for sales.
Yeah, sure. So we were among the first, I think. Well, we partnered, I should back up a little bit. We partnered with serious decisions prior to their acquisition by Forrester with Terry Flaherty and Carrie Cunningham and Vicky Brown and a lot of the folks who pioneer marketing in for all of us, right? They're some of the leaders in the space with regard to forward thinking. So we partnered with them because we really wanted to re-architect the way that marketing handed off leads to sales. And at the same time, they were working on launching the new Demand Unit Waterfall, which was really more designed to give sales that account view mm-hmm. of what was happening versus giving them the lead view of what was happening. So we had built out a system whereby we created opportunities that were in earlier stages that were hidden from sales until they passed a certain threshold, and we gave them the account view. And it really didn't work for them because there were different types of sales reps, and a particular type of sales rep, say for example, your BDR/SDR or your telereps, right? The ones who they're comped on activity. And they're really measured on activity. So they needed the individual lead or contact engagements for them to be able to follow up on. But there were other reps, like regional sales managers or field reps, who really didn't give a hoot really about leads at all and rarely even followed up on them. Because what they cared about was, well, I have these 25 named accounts or these 50 named accounts. I know what's happening in those accounts. And they were being held accountable by their sales VPs for dispositioning leads that they never had any intention of calling. So what it really came down to was there's different types of reps. They have different needs with regard to what marketing does for them. And we needed to marry that system. So it actually ended up being completely broken down, the way we systematized it. And it was systematized in a different way that met the different sales teams' needs. So for the SDRs and BDRs, they still got every little interaction. You know, we also have lead scoring and things like that in place, but they got the interactions. For the field reps, they really now had a model in place where they could either follow up or they could push everything to their SDR or BDR to follow up. What remained consistent, regardless of the model that we implemented, though, was our ability to measure it with the Demand Unit Waterfall. Somewhere along the lines of implementing the Demand Unit Waterfall, it somehow got munged in with, well, this is the way marketing wants to work the system now. And it really wasn't the meaning of the Demand Unit Waterfall. The Demand Unit Waterfall was really a measurement methodology. And it was to the point where we even had a team of internal folks who almost kind of went around behind our back and said, well, we're going to re-architect this and we're not going to tell marketing because we think they have too much skin in the game and they're going to be unhappy that we're re-architecting it. And it was a great conversation to sit down and have with them and say, listen, it really doesn't matter how it's architected in the system because this is a measurement methodology. So we were able to, in both methodologies, create the Demand Unit Waterfall. And actually, David Rick created that report for us as well. And that Demand Unit Waterfall, in conjunction with the Campaign Performance Report, were the two reports that were being sent to all of marketing and all of sales operations every Friday into their inbox. So it was an evolution. It's all an evolution. And I think part of that is what you talked about at the beginning. It can feel Herculean, but it's a steady evolution toward really understanding the data in your systems and how it hooks together and how to use it.
Yeah. Probably saying Holy Grail, maybe not the right comparison. Everest for sure. I mean, especially if you've done it the first time. And I think that would then say if an initiative like this feels like climbing a mountain like that, that you need a Sherpa like you and like Rick. Rick, if you're listening to this, love you, buddy. You do great work, and the value that you provide to our clients, tremendous, in the team. Just love his expertise. Let's talk about 2021 for you. Again, congratulations on making the move over to Datto. You are no doubt laying out what the key goals and initiatives are for next year. You come into a new environment and you're like, okay, time for me to take out a bit of my playbook, assess, do discovery, see what's here. and start making some recommendations. What's on the list for you in terms of key initiatives, if you can share for this year?
Oh boy. So key initiatives. I think one of important things, and one of the reasons why I took the position at Datto, is that the business is definitely investing in marketing operations. 2020 was a bit of the year of investing in sales operations. So they've got that organization squared away. And now this is, the end of 2020, but really into 2021 is the year of investing in marketing operations. So we are looking forward to expanding the team. And that's both on the analytics side of the house, as well as on the traditional marketing ops side of the house. And that's another reason is that Datto is investing in marketing ops, but also in the analytics arm of the organization. So the hope is that we can do some of the things that we did with you all, David, internally. And if not, I know who to call for sure. but we really need to get to the point where, and these are some of the controversial things that I say sometimes that people who've been in the business a long time look at me like I have five horns, is, you know, we really need to get away from the conversations around marketing driven versus marketing influenced and sales influenced versus marketing influenced and partner team influenced or customer success team influenced. Like, we really need to get down to the business of, this is where we're investing our money, and it's either working or it's not, and it doesn't really matter which team is doing it. So that's where we need to get to at Datto in 2021, is really reworking the metrics and the benchmarks to which we measure ourselves to ones that have more value for Datto.
100%. I mean, yeah. I couldn't agree. I have a little soundboard here, and I couldn't wait to hit this button. When you said that, because I was like, yeah, even in our own organization, I'm willing to be transparent enough to say that when Tiffany, who heads marketing for us, and Rob, who heads sales, and Anita, who heads alliances, three just absolute stellar leaders, there is the discussion of who, which channel. Rob literally has a bell in his office. I mean, literally, I made it for him. That's how I know. It was about a year ago. I made him this really cool, it looks like a gigantic bell that you'd find on like a ship from the old days. He's got some boxing gloves because, you know, sales is competitive. He needed boxing gloves. These are embossed Muhammad Ali boxing gloves. And it says, "Let's get ready to rumble," right above it. I think our office manager put that up there. And he rings that bell every time we close a deal. I mean, you can hear it down the hallway. Smashes that thing, and you know what that signals? That yes, a deal has closed, but he's also the bell ringer. And to your point, Naomi, that piece of business could have flowed through marketing, could have flown through alliances, could have touched many different parts of the organization. And the bell in every deal we win going forward needs to represent the company's win and not a department, because in today's day and age, it is not just sales or just marketing or just anything. It is one team. And so many people know, I think I wrote in my book, that the guy who coined the phrase demand gen, that came from a meeting that we used to have on Fridays at my last company, 15 years ago. It was the sales and marketing meeting on Fridays, and you could feel the tension in the room at times, and everybody sat in sales on one side. It was like boys and girls, like the sales sat on one side and the girls marketing, I'm just using it metaphorically, sat on the other side. I'm like, we're one team. So I rebranded the meeting to be the demand gen meeting. And that's where the term came from. It was like 2003. So we're just not there yet, and not in every organization. And there's a bit of that. I won't name names, but I will hear within our own organization, oh, it's nice that they get the credit for it, but that was sourced by marketing, and then we did this and we did that. And it's like, yeah, everybody won that deal. It's all of us, but we're not there yet, right? I mean, let's be honest. We're just not there yet culturally enough organizations. And I envision a world where marketing is in the pole position for driving growth and driving revenue. It's happening at so many of our clients. It's happening around the world. If you've ever been in B2C, where you don't even have salespeople very often, that marketing can drive all the revenue of a business. And in our organization, I don't know what it's like there at Datto, if you want to share, but you know, sales plays a critical role. We're a service, right? When you decided to work with us, Naomi, and your team, you know, there's not like a data sheet and you click on, you know, pay with Amazon, not yet, and have something delivered to you. It's a service. So you have to talk to our team and go through a process of scoping. So everybody plays a role in the process to acquire customers. And by the way, everyone should play a role in growing the relationship that you have, the lifetime value and revenue within your install base. I don't know how often I don't see marketing organizations focus on their install base. So we still have a long, long ways to go. And champions like you that believe in this one team mindset, and you're in a team that actually services two different departments, and your objective and need to remain that way to provide one view of the truth and to help them get clarity on the business. Very passionate about that. Thoughts?
No, completely agree. And I think I know Rob, so he's probably going to kill me when he hears this. But I would say move the bell out into a central area and have a different person from a different team ring it for every deal. And then you start to... So I go back to thinking about what it was...
That's a great idea. Sorry, Rob, your bell's moving.
I know Rob's going to kill me. I'll have to send him an email. But I think if you think back to like startups, that's why you don't have those conversations in startups, because there's five people sitting around a conference room. They're from every single function, and every single function is super happy that that deal closes. It's somehow embodying that spirit, but in a larger organization. So I couldn't agree more, I guess.
Very last question for you before I let you go. It's one for you, and I don't know what the answer is, but you made a post about a month ago saying, I'm hiring at Datto for the global marketing operations team. Have you filled those positions? And if not, this is a team you guys want to be on. If you're thinking of making a move and you want to work with an exceptional leader and learn these recipes, reach out to Naomi. But I don't know if those roles are still open.
They are. One of them has been filled. The marketing ops manager role has been filled. We have a marketing ops specialist. We have an analyst, analyst one, we call it, and we have an analyst two. So still three positions open on the team, and we are actively recruiting. So nice. happy to get some great folks to join this crazy team. We're having a good time.
Well, I want to share with you something we are doing, Naomi, and give you a pre-invitation. In 2021, we are going to do these marketing leadership exchanges. Even though we didn't do as many of them in 2020 because of COVID, that was the excuse, because we used to do them in person. We used to rent out a suite at a hotel and bring a bunch of marketing leaders together and just moderate a day together from learning from one another and talking about how you're doing challenges. So we're going to start to do these virtually again, and would love to have you on and, you know, just have people open their playbook and show some of the work that they're doing. So I look forward to doing that together. Thank you so much for joining me on Demand Gen Radio. Thank everybody for tuning in. I really hope that you make a connection to Naomi, to just have someone in your network to bounce ideas off of if you need. And Naomi, on behalf of Rick and the entire team, thank you for your partnership, and thank you for the work that we have done together. You know, we learn from each other, and it's really, really rewarding to help you be a hero. It ties to our mission. And I wish you the best in your new endeavor.
Thank you so much. And I always laugh, and I think that if somebody was a fly on the wall in some of those conversations with Rick and I, we were so far down in the weeds that they probably would have thought we were crazy. So I'd like to say thank you to you all too for sticking with me for building out this crazy suite of reports, and cannot wait to see what happens in 2021. Thanks so much for having me.
Love it. Well, cheers to crazy. And that's going to do it for this episode of Demand Gen Radio. All the best to you guys. Look forward to a great year together. We crossed the 200th episode mark and couldn't have done it without you guys tuning in. I would have lost faith a long time ago if I didn't have you tuning in and listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, got something from it, I'd love to hear from you guys as well. Drop me a note on LinkedIn. Until then, catch you on the next episode. Take care.
You've been listening to Demand Gen Radio, bringing you the top industry experts, thought leaders, authors, marketing technology firms, and senior marketing leaders from around the world to teach you the methods and technologies for high-performance marketing.